It has been one of those weeks where every time I try to study or get anything done between being sick and just different phone calls and all the stuff, by Saturday night at 11 o'clock, you just have to go, God, you know what's supposed to happen tomorrow, because I don't have a clue. And you just got to leave it in God's hands. Romans chapter 9, I'm just going to begin reading and just allow the Holy Spirit to take us where He's going to take us today. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, that my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Paul is, he's telling everybody, as is the truth, he says, I would rather that I be accursed and that my brother's Israelite would be saved. Why don't we switch to the lapel mic? I'll work my way back there to you. He said, I would rather that I would be accursed from Christ for my brethren, that my kinsmen, according to the flesh, your Israelites, to whom have the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. He said, I would wish that all of those things, I would be accursed, that they would be saved, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Testing. Working now. Should be on the lapel mic. I'm just using this headset. Hello, testing. Hey. And no static. That's nice. All right. Paul's heart is that they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Verse 6 continues, it is not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac they shall be called. Shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden it, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not as Jews only, but also as the Gentiles. As he saith also, in OC I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us seed, we had been as Sodom and had been like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, that they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I have shared before, I came to a point in my walk with God that you start feeling good about how much He loves you and what He's done for you, and then all of a sudden you kind of look back and you start having pity on all those people that have done you wrong in your past. And this chapter, I got to that point when I started looking back, as a lot of us do, a lot of the guys, it has to do with your dad, and I looked back at my dad and went, in a conversation with Don, you know, I just feel bad because my dad's going to have to answer for all those things that he exposed me to. And Don said, no, he's not. And I went, yeah, he is. And I was mad. I was mad at him. Believe it or not, I was mad at this guy. It was like, what are you talking about? Yes, he is. Haven't you ever heard of the Day of Judgment? I mean, he's going to answer for all the things that he's done. He said, no, he's not, Mike. Yes, he is. Because I want him to. Don't you see it by my attitude? And I'm thinking at this point, it's like, yeah, he is going to answer for it. He said, no, he's not. He's going to answer one question. Why didn't you receive the gift of my son? Hit me like a ton of bricks. Still mad. Went home stewing on it. It was shortly after that I went home. And I sat in my house and I thought about it, and it made me mad. What do you mean? And all of a sudden it dawned on me. If my dad didn't receive Christ as Lord and Savior, that was going to be the question he answered for. Why didn't you receive the gift of my son? And if he had received the gift of Jesus Christ, then he wasn't going to answer for anything, was he? Because all those things were forgiven and gone away. It was me that was holding on to him. And I read through this chapter, and still to this day can't tell you exactly what it is, but all of a sudden I see the sovereignty of God in this. And all of a sudden I came to that point that I realized that everything that I had been through in my life, He had been right there with me the whole time. And I read through this and I see that Paul's heart, he wants the Israelites, and he just lays it all out there. Basically what he says is, don't you see that this has nothing to do with us? This has everything to do with the calling of God. Don't you see that it was God who said this is the way that it's going to be? And it's not because we work at it, and it's not because we earn it, and it's not because of any other reason but God. Verse 6, he says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. He begins to draw some lines. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10 says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. In man's reasoning, why? Why would God do that? Why would God say that he loved one and hated the other? When neither one of them had even been born yet. He was speaking this before they were even born. He said this. This is the way that it's going to be. I'm going to love one and I'm going to hate the other. This doesn't go into our reasoning. Doesn't seem fair, does it? it really poses the question, why? Paul gets it. So that is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Verse 14 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? That would be our deduction. That would be our reasoning. That's not fair. How is that right that God would do that? Doesn't seem fair. Does anybody think it's fair that he would love Jacob and hate Esau? They hadn't even been born yet. God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. It isn't something you're not going to will, you're not going to determine that you're going to get mercy from God and just go after it. You don't have the power to execute that. I can't just determine, you know what? God's going to be merciful to me today. And I just determine it, and then it is. We don't have that kind of power, do we? God chooses whom he will have mercy on. He chooses those things. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. I think of that word runneth, and it means it's not, I'm not going to earn it. I'm not going to set out today and say, God, watch me, because by the end of the day, you're going to want to be merciful to me. Doesn't work that way. By the end of the day, you're going to call me Jacob and not Esau. See what I mean? You can't earn it. He already declared those things. But the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. That word therefore, big red flag. Pay attention to that. Here's the reason that some he would have mercy on. Here's the reason that he would have mercy on Jacob and he would hate Esau. Here's the reason for the whole thing. That my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault then? If God's the one that hardens the hearts, if he hardened Pharaoh, then why would he find fault in Pharaoh? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And there's the question that jumped out at me. I started looking at the will this week. And I thought I had determined my will was I was going to teach on the will. Didn't work out that way. Didn't work out that way when I came down here last night, because it's Saturday night and I don't know what else to do and I don't know. I don't feel prepared, God. And I come down here and I pour my heart out to God what my will is, that he would give me a revelation on the will. My phone starts going off. Not a bad thing. I wasn't mad. It was just like, really, God, here we go again. God's been walking me through some things. Pastor's got problems too. Been a little distant the last couple of weeks. Had some things come up that just kind of rocked my world. Just kind of set me back and made me question why. And I did. It was like, why? Why this? Why are we at, where, why are we here? What is going on? And I have been struggling and some of it I've been a little distant in replying to phone calls and text messages and everything else because I'm sorry, I've just needed time. Happens. Anybody ever feel that way? And this question why has been resounding over and over again. Why? Why do we question, why do we think that we can question God's will? Why would we think that we can question God? Why would you love Jacob and hate Esau? Why would you be merciful to me and not to someone else? Why would you set me free and not someone else? Why? I started looking at all of this week, and just that word, three little letters, why, means for what? Means for what reason? For what cause? For what purpose? And when you really get down to the nitty gritty, what I'm challenging is God's reasoning in doing anything that He does. I'll say that again. For me to ask God why is for me to challenge His reasoning, His counsel. Everything else, everything comes out of God's will. My mind, we've been studying the mind and the emotions, and you start looking at the mind, will, and emotions. My will is developed out of my thoughts. It's developed out of my thoughts. My emotions are involved in the whole thing, and my will is developed out of those. Not so with God. God is. And His will is. And His counsels and His understanding and His wisdom and everything is birthed out of His perfect will. God's will is. So who am I to sit back and question it with why? What I'm saying is, why, God? I'm challenging your reasonings. Because I look at this and I say it's not fair. I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I challenge, why do these bad things continue to happen in my life? Why do I have marital problems? Why do I have trouble at work? Why can't I find a job? Why? What are your reasonings behind this, God? Anybody else got a why? Why can't I do this? Why do I have to do that? Why, God? What are your reasonings? And it's like we dig our heels in and say, and I'm not moving until you give me an answer. And we get mad at God. Whew! I love you, brother. Why are you here listening to me rant this morning? And you know the beauty of it is? It's because God determined, He elected, and He appointed that each one of us would be found right here at this time that we might seek Him and find Him this morning. That we might glorify His name. The reason that absolutely everything happens in my life is so that His name would be declared throughout all the earth. But I look at it and say, how is that going to happen? Why do you think I should do it this way? Why do I have to walk through this trial for your name to be declared? Why do I have to go through this, God, for your name to be glorified? We stand there, oh, glorify yourself, Lord, and goes, good, I'm going to do it through this trial. Bam! Why? Think about it. This just blows me away. I'm not ready for the service tomorrow morning, Lord. Ring. Why? Why, God, won't you just give me the message? Because you're going to live it this time. Ouch. Why? Anybody got stuff going on in their life? Okay, anybody doesn't have stuff going on in their life? Yeah. Why? Then it really started hitting me. I mean, the more I thought about this, He hardened Pharaoh's heart. He did it. God hardened his heart. God did not allow him to see His mercy. God hardened his heart and used him to declare His name because God said, I'm going to declare a people to myself. I'm going to claim them to me. You might get me thinking out loud here in just a minute. We challenge the counsels of God all the time. Why have you made me like this? Oftentimes we get saved and think that everything is supposed to be perfect.
Why have you done me wrong? Why have you done me wrong by giving me life under these circumstances? Anybody in here really super just pleased with their circumstances in life? I mean, is there anybody in here that couldn't think of a way they'd have it a little bit better right now? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Speak well of, exalt the name of, speak well in everything that you are, speak well of God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has spoken in our favor, blessing us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as or in conformity to the fact that He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You catch that? According to the good pleasure of His will. He predestined, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, He predestined that you would be found in Him. That you would be found in Him. He predestined you under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He found good pleasure in predestinating you in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden the why goes away. I don't want to ask why to that. I just want to rejoice in that. Amen?
Means I didn't choose Him?
According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to or in conformity to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. We get so wrapped up in asking why about our circumstances instead of rejoicing in the fact that I'm not like Pharaoh, that he's hardened my heart. I get my eyes on my circumstances and I begin to challenge the reasoning of God. And I forget the fact that it brought Him good pleasure that I might be found in His Son, Jesus Christ. And I question Him why I'm short on money. And I challenge Him in His reasonings on why I'm short on money. And forget about the fact that He predestinated before the foundation of the world. Mike is going to be found in my Son, rendered holy according to the graciousness of my Son, Jesus Christ. He had so much favor in me before that He founded the world that He knew when His Son hung on the cross that it was for me and that it was for you. And we complain about not having money, and we complain about our jobs, and we complain about our children. not minding us right. And we complain about this and we complain about that. And we forget the fact that we are found in Christ and it was His work. Instead of rejoicing that I'm not as Pharaoh who had to have my heart hardened so that God could glorify Himself and declare His name, He found me to be the one that He loved. Why would I challenge that will? Why would I challenge His reasonings in that? I can't even begin to understand the reasonings in that. All I can do is stop and go, oh God. We think about the will and a free will. Quit trying to figure out the free will. Because as soon as you do, you're going to find out it isn't worth it. It's not worth it. Because if I'm going to exercise my will, then that means I've used my thoughts and I've been driven by my emotions and I've determined what's going to go on in my life and I've determined how I'm going to glorify God in it. I've determined all of these things and I've challenged His reasonings and I've challenged God. I was listening to a revival hymn this morning. It just stirred up in me. Anybody who's ever heard that? Anybody who hasn't, YouTube revival hymn. It's about 30 minutes long. You can give a listen to that. Let me know if you're not crying by the time you get to the end of it. There's one part this preacher says, why must a man bear his cross? Why must a man lay down his life? Why must a man lay down his soul and pick up his cross and follow Him? Why? Because it's the only way that God will get the glory out of this nasty, stinking, rotten flesh. It's the only way. We can try in all our efforts and we can try and do all the stuff and we can tell God how this is all going to work. God, if You'll just give me a better job, if You'll just give me more money, if You'll just make my kids mine, if You'll just do this, if You'll just do that, I will glorify Your name. Just do this and I will lift Your name up. God doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. He works in the midst of our trials and He works in the midst of that stuff when all of a sudden you see Him bigger than your stuff and all of a sudden you realize, well, wait a minute, I'm not like Pharaoh. We're here this morning because He's drawn us to this place. Who are we? So many times we sit back and we determine how we're going to glorify Him in ministry. God, don't You know I need to study so that I can preach in the morning? Don't You know that your brother needs help? Leave all that behind and go love on him. But God, but Mike. Why God? But Mike. This is the conversation that I had. Back and forth. And all I can do is just find myself just going, wow. This speaks to anybody this morning. We got all these whys going on in our head instead of just rejoicing in the fact that He has called us out of the pit of hell. He made a way. He determined before the foundation of the world that we would be that we are predestined. He determined beforehand that we would be found in His Son before we broke our shoulder. Yeah.
Weeks ago. I'm self-employed and when the economy took this downturn a few years ago and it affected my business in a big way. So God is faithful and we made it month after month. It's not always pretty. I tend to panic on a regular basis. It's one of the things I'm really good at. And a few weeks ago I got tired of panic. And my wife and I prayed a prayer. I just gave up. Said, this is it. I'm done. Lord, I trust You. I trust You with everything. With my finances, with my house, with whatever You decided that I am to have or to be, I trust You with that, with my health, with my provision. With absolutely everything, Lord, I trust You. Of course, in my mind, this means that, okay, now I'm released, I can relax, and God's going to take care of everything. And then about a week ago, taking my pants off. This is how God works.
The foolish is the man.
And I try to stop myself and end up breaking a bone in my shoulder. And I can't work. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. So Julie and I last night are talking over finances, what we have, what we don't have, what we need, what's possible, what's not possible. And I figure all this stuff out. I go over it all. We sit down with the numbers. And if we do this, then we won't have that. And if we do this, then we won't have that. And the things that we won't have if we pay all the bills right now is that we might not have money for Christmas. We might not have money for income tax next year. And this morning, God just brought me that story and said, you're not supposed to give anybody for tomorrow. That's tomorrow. But the incredible thing is that he predestined, he saw in advance, he knew what I was going to be convinced there. But I'll have to look at this prayer. He set my soul free this morning. Boy, you find yourself asking why, maybe the answer is to free your soul. To really truly set you free. I trust in him. This morning, probably more than I ever have. And I'm able to praise him in a way that I probably was never able to before, because I've seen him different. He showed himself different in this circumstance. And I was sharing in the prayer before we came. This is an incredible example to me for illustration of what God wants from me. The only way this is going to get better is if I rest my arm in this place. I keep finding myself over my shoulder, being tense, the muscles are tight, and I'm trying to protect it. That's good. That's good. You know, my entire life, I'm tense, I'm trying to do this instead of just resting. And, I'm unable to rest this morning. And I think that's maybe the answer to why. Why anything happens, why anything comes up in my life. Is to learn to rest and to truly trust in him. For our soul to be free, to experience truly the salvation of our soul.
Amen.
Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Lord, why am I going through this in my life? So that you would be to the praise of my glory. Lord, why do I have money problems? So that you would be to the praise of my glory. Lord, why am I going through marital problems? So that your marriage will be to the praise of my glory. Why did I break my shoulder? So that you would be to the praise of my glory. Why are we going through all the things that we're going through? So that we would be to the praise of his glory. And it's not up to our reasoning how we praise his glory. He determines that. He determined that it would be to the praise of his glory that he loved Jacob and he hated Esau. It would be to the praise of his glory that he hardened Pharaoh's heart, yet he gave Moses a heart for his people. It would be according to the counsel of his will on how they would be to the praise of his glory. It would be up to how he determined it on how his name would be declared throughout all the earth. The answer to our question, why, is so that we would be to the praise of his glory. Let's focus on the fact that he's called us out of death and into life. Let's just rejoice in that, Chandra. Know what I mean? Nothing else matters when you start looking at it from there. Nothing else matters. The circumstances don't matter. If I'm in the middle of it, I'm called, I've obtained an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I have came to that place. No matter what's going on around me, I can know without a doubt it is so that I will be to the praise of His glory in everything that I go through. Do we have 30 minutes? Can we just take 30 minutes? Can I just... Do you have revival hymns still on the computer? I think it's on that computer, Lori. Can you take a minute and look? If we got 30 minutes just to listen to it, I can't redo it. I can't preach it like this. This is just a compilation of different ministers, but there is something about this. There's an anointing on this recording. Whoever did this, I've never seen anybody lay claim to that they compiled all of this. This is different messages. They've taken clips out of it and put it all together. But there is a message behind this that is very humbling, and it's time that we start remembering, and this is all to the praise of His glory and not us. It's time to make Him the center of our existence. Every time we ask why, we're saying, God, don't you see that I am the center of my world? And you're supposed to be doing all this for me? We challenge His reasonings. We challenge His counseling. We challenge everything about Him when we begin to cry out why all the time. It's not, and you know what I mean, there's a difference between that childlike, I'm asking you why, God, because I want to see how you do things. I want to have an understanding. It's the, why is this happening to me? Do you know what I mean? It's that, God, don't you know that you're a means to my end? Ouch. Where do we get that? Yeah. You just confessed you want to be God. Did we find it? Okay. Thank you. I know this was kind of spur of the moment. We get caught up in our circumstances. And we're looking through things with a scope about that big. And it's so much bigger. There's so much more to this walk with Him. The Bible tells me I can partake of that inheritance that it talked about. I can partake of that now. Shall be a partaker of that inheritance now. Tells me the kingdom of God is within me. Peace, joy, patience, all of those things. When I hear it, I'll be quiet. Let me